do this thing. Phil is working with JP right now with the with our folks going to be baptized, and just an exciting day. I think as a church, certainly as an elder, having new elders coming on board and a new deacon and six young people committing, already committed their lives in Christ, commit themselves to baptism, and that's just it's just going to be a blessed day. I'm really looking forward to that. Let's pray and we'll get started. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you with gratitude that you allow us to come here in the first place, to come to your house, to offer our praise and our worship such as it is. Lord, we do thank you for these six young people who have committed their lives to you and now are committing themselves to baptism in a public commitment before your people, before your church. We pray that you would bless them in that for their obedience, bless their lives, all being very young people. And we thank you, Lord, for the two new elders and the new deacon. We pray that you would bless them and bless this church because of them, Lord, as they have given much already to you, and much more will be required. And we are just excited to have them. We're excited to be here right now, Lord, as we take a look at your word and what it means to live by faith. And pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear it and to hear it well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Two things you have in front of you there. One of them is an article I ran across yesterday morning. You can read it later. I think it's one of the best and simplest articles I've read. I sent it out not just to you, but some people in the church and to Johnny and friends. And I don't know, I think you'll really enjoy it when you have time to read it and assimilate it and apply it in your own life and your own situation. The other thing, the notes I gave you, obviously I'm a minimalist. So what you've got there is a point five on the back. And these are the 5 points that John Piper is going to come up with and during the course of the sermon. So I just thought I'd give you something. So some of them are long sentences, like he's a preacher or something. That's almost verbatim. So I just give you a chance to take notes. I left number two blank, and I think you'll understand why when we get there. Tell me. There we go. Just really quick, as by way of introduction, the majority of the class will be the video by John Piper. It's entitled, "What Does It Mean to Live by Faith in the Service of the Fatherless?" His text is going to be Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 29. And I got to tell you, I probably listened to this sermon probably 8 or 9 times, including this morning, and get blessed by it every time. I truly do. That many times that I haven't gotten tired of it yet. It's probably one of the best and simplest expositions of this last portion of Hebrews 11 that I've ever heard, particularly in relationship to our situation. Honestly, he applies it to ministry to orphans, the fatherless, but put anything in there. And this will fit. I mean, it is just, it's universal. But the Bible is. I mean, we would expect that to be the case. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. One of the things that caught me, first of all, it's very honest. It's very straightforward. It's obviously very biblical, or we wouldn't have it here, and John Piper wouldn't do it. Doesn't pull any punches. And yet it's difficult, and he'll admit that there. It's a difficult passage in some respects. But that makes it, at least to me, to be really encouraging. Even being at the end, if you will, of raising a special needs child. Now, you all know Jared, and he is away at a fire assignment right now, and so we've been blessed in that. But early on, there were many, we had difficulties, and the one thing that we didn't want when we were going through those times were empty platitudes, empty religious platitudes. Now, that said, sometimes cliches and platitudes help us to say things when we don't know what to say, and so I don't want to put that down. But that was unhelpful a lot of times. And not that we didn't understand, but it just can be unhelpful sometimes. What we really needed was, number one, honesty, both in medical situations and those kinds of things, but even spiritual honesty. We needed to know that there was real hope, not a false hope. Hope that told us, regardless of the situation, that there was a reason for this. There was a reason why we had a child with special needs. And if there is a reason, and it's a godly reason, there is hope in that, a hope that is a certainty, and particularly during difficult times. And whether we fully understood what we were going through or not. I will say this too. Jared's birth was a defining moment in our relationship as husband and wife, and the years that followed that. To some extent, even now, you're never not a parent. So get used to this, folks. You're going to be parents for as long as you're alive or your kids are alive. So you will be parents, and that doesn't go away. And thank God for that. Honestly, in fact, we added a daughter. I have two daughters. That was kind of nice too. But it was a defining moment in our relationship, and as our parent of an older child too, because Jared is the youngest, Aaron is the oldest. It was a defining moment in our faith. We were 26 years old. I was raised in church, became a Christian when I was 10, and yet had never fully comprehended or had to really just trust in the Lord by faith until that moment when we were faced literally with letting Jared die. The doctors gave us that opportunity. And so that puts your faith to the test and puts you in a whole different realm that we're just not taught in public schools to handle. So only with God, and I had godly parents, and that helped. And, of course, Sue, who was here, I was in Redwood City because I had to transport him. So someday we'll talk about that maybe. But it was a defining moment in our faith when we really did have to come down. And the Lord didn't let us in that. He really did. I don't have time to tell one story I would like to, but some other time maybe. But we ended up relying fully on the Lord in our conversation and everything, and that was contrary in some respects to our life, Christian lives as a couple that was really mediocre before that. And these are good times in a really kind of different sense. So there is one perspective that I can offer you before we go to the video, that I can offer you here, and that's Sue and I are at the other end of where you are. And so they say that faith faith in hindsight is 20/20, and indeed it is. So we can look back and we shared a lot of the things that you're going through, different contexts, maybe the same in some respects. But so I would like to just tell you that that God was faithful to us in all of that, even those days when we didn't feel he was even present. I can look back and tell you that God was faithful in the things that he called on us to do, the good times and the bad, and there were. During that time, God used us as Jared's parents, but God grew us both spiritually, but as a couple as well. We look back and see how God has used us in the lives of others and Jared in the lives of others. And it's involved. We're still involved now with Johnny and Friends and Disabilities Ministries. We wouldn't have been without Jared. And so, there's just a lot of things as I look back and can promise you that even on those days when you're not even sure God exists, that he is being faithful to you. And that's really what this is about this morning. So I do want to just do one thing, and I will make it quicker than I was going to. His text, like I said, is Hebrews 11, but look at Hebrews 1 really quick. I preached on this recently, so I don't need to belabor the point. I think most of you were there. But he's going to go to the fact in point four, I think it is, that Jesus is simply better. And I love what he said. It's better than anything this life can bring and anything that death can take away. And he explains that a little bit. This is a pretty short sermon. But just consider this, because the first four verses really quickly. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now, you know that what the Hebrews are going through here is they're struggling with persecution. They're struggling with tough times from family, from the world around them, and they were having a tendency to drift away. And so the author of Hebrews is, number one, calling them back based on the sufficiency of Christ for all things, even in their persecution, maybe especially in their persecution. Now, we're not in danger of going back to Judaism, and we're not, at least at this point, in danger of being persecuted. But we do have difficulties and trials of life, and that's what puts us back into their lives. And that's what makes this applicable to us. And so what is that in that first verse? That in the last days, he speaks to us through his Son. That tells us that Jesus is the last, final revelation of God. There's nowhere else to go. There is nothing else coming except history. Redemptive history, to be sure. But there's nothing else coming in terms of new revelation. All that we have, we need. All that we need, we have. What does Peter tell us? We have everything we need for life and godliness through Jesus Christ, right? Everything we need, because God, Jesus Christ is the final revelation. We're going to compile all this. He is the creator of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. And he is the heir of all things. Where else would we turn? But we do. But we do. And we sometimes we blame him, and that I think he understands that in our difficult times. But who else and why else would we trust anybody else or turn anywhere else? Or why would our faith is a gift? It wanes. It does that through the course of our lives because we're still tied into sinful bodies and depraved minds and reasoning. But this is why the call back, and that's what he's doing in Hebrews, is calling them back to the reality of the full sufficiency of Christ. And that's a huge, huge thing. His truth is sufficient, and that truth we live by faith. So I would just add one thing really quick. We'll go to the video. We have a tendency to live in the negative, and not unreasonably so. When things are overwhelming, they're overwhelming. It's an easy thing to just say, oh, just have faith and smile and go on. Now, we would like to be able to do that. That's not a reality. That's not sanctifying. That's why we go through trials and these tribulations. But I would suggest to you that even though we have a tendency to live in that negative side, don't overlook the blessings in the negative. Maybe going through tough times, take the time to find the blessing. Even if you have to look back to prior blessings, because the way God blessed you before in trials, he's going to bless you today, and he's going to bless you tomorrow with that same blessing, as difficult as it may be. So we don't want to get lost in that negative side. So let me offer you two quick things that you know well. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that's to all of us. In context, that's to Israel in judgment. One day, it goes on to say, and you will call on me, and I will hear you, and I will care for you. But just in the totality of circumstances, he has a plan for you. He has a plan for your children. And it will come to an end in the right way. Philippians 1 says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. When Piper talks about, and you've heard us talk about it a great deal in this church, about the gospel, we know it's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. It is the gospel by which we are sanctified. It's the gospel by which we live our lives. And where that applies here is we are our children from God's perspective. Much of what we do in this world, if there's a type and shadow, our marriages are a type of relationship of Christ with his church. Men, we as fathers are to imitate the best we can what a heavenly father looks like, so our children will know. Mothers, you too. We are to imitate what God is. And we are children of God. And we are no less, there are those times when we are obedient and we are wonderful to our Lord and we trust him and we walk with him and everything is really great. Now, there's other times that we are precocious, rebellious children to our Father. We are our children. And so how does God apply that gospel to us is the way we apply it to our children. Now, that's easy to say. I understand that. We want answers. But God doesn't grant us those answers. If there's any connection and difficulty that I found, and I've talked like this in front of Jared, so there's no secrets here. But where does the disability and the issues that come with it leave off and sinful behavior take over? And I can tell you, I don't know. I still don't. Those are those things we grapple with. God doesn't give us those answers. We really only have one option, and that's to live by faith. Well, we have two. We're to not live by faith. And so we're not going to have those answers. God may get granted to us every once in a while. He does. It's that aha moment and everything works right. He doesn't give us those. So it's by faith. That's what this is about. The last thing I want to close out with really quick is he talks about you, hopefully me, being a gift to the world. He doesn't expound on that. That would, I'm guessing, be a lot more sermons. But he gives you the three things at the end, love God, how to be. To love God more than life, to walk by faith in his Son, to pour out your life for the fatherless no matter what. And that's good things. But I'd like to bring that down, just a couple thoughts that I had for you and into how you are a gift. We don't want to think about that sometimes, and our humility, hopefully, says, okay, thank you, Lord, that I'm a gift, but I don't see it, you know. But and I would encourage you to encourage each other, because I'm guessing that you see it in each other. you may not be seeing it in yourselves or admitting it, but so talk to one another, fellowship with one another in that. But here are just a couple ways as we close. Number one, you epitomize for the world our salvation, the adoption of Jesus Christ. And you know that. You've heard Phil preach on it many times. And it is a very appropriate that you do so. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So you are epitomizing that. Well, they may not understand it until God illuminates them, and they do. But you are. You epitomize our salvation in God by adopting other children because we are adopted sons of the Father. And so that's one. And number two, you exemplify the heart of Jesus Christ. Did you know that? By adopting? Listen to this. This is James 1:27. Religion, and you know the word, you know it, that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. This is God's opinion. This is what God calls us to do. To visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. You're reaching out. Is an extension of God's own heart. That's pretty special. And you are a gift to them. You are a gift to the world. You are a gift to your children. It doesn't always feel that way. They are a gift to you. That's another whole thing. And lastly, I would just add this. Well, this goes back to you are a gift to your children. Psalm 146:9 said, the Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. By the way of the wicked he brings, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. One of the ways our Lord upholds the fatherless is you. He brought you out of a place, he brought your children out of a place where they didn't have parents, certainly not godly parents, probably, and he put them in your home. This was his doing, not yours. And, you know, that doesn't make the difficult days a lot easier, but it gives us somewhere to go to understand that there is reason if God chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose your child before the foundation of the world in that sense. He has every one of your days marked out before there were any of them, and that includes your children. That's Psalm 139, 17, 16 or 17, somewhere in there. So there's reason to hope because God gave you every reason to have a hope and has planned that for you. So think about those things. Bring back other questions next week. And if you have any, if you would like this, or I'll just email it to you anyway. And it will be on Sermon Audio eventually once it gets on there. Okay? We got to go. And we got a church. It's going to be a blessed time. So let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the encouragement we heard today. Not just from John Piper, but most importantly from your word. And that gives it the reality that we need and the truth that we need to understand that whether it be our children, biological or adopted, or even the other difficulties that you ordain in our lives to grow us, it gives us hope, it gives us reason. And Lord, you're calling on us to trust in you, your complete sufficiency for all things, including this. And you're asking for us to think eternally, not just temporally. And Lord, we know it's not easy. If it were easy, we wouldn't need faith. If we're easy, we wouldn't be sanctified through our trials in our lives. But you have put that before us to grow us, even as we work to grow our children, to bring the gospel to them, leaving them in your hands, Lord. You are sovereign. We couldn't save ourselves. We can't save our children. That's your job. We thank you, dear Lord, as difficult as some days may be, that you have chosen us to do that. And I pray, Lord, that you do indeed make us a gift to the world, a gift to our children. So, Lord, we give you our day and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.